from the book of Exodus 24, verses 12 through 18. That's Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 through 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come again to you, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called out to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Here ends this first scripture reading.
Before I read the second scripture lesson, and I'll be reading it from the the NIV, so it may not match what you have up front. It's a I've been warmly welcomed here, and it's an honor and a privilege to be in the pulpit today, especially on Transfiguration Sunday, where the blazing sun is so appropriate for today as we approach this word and listen. The scripture comes 6 days after Peter acknowledged that when Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? He said, "You are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." So now we enter into the scripture lesson. Let's listen. And listen is the name of the sermon today. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is God's word to us today. Thanks be to God. Well, listen. Listen. Listening is hard work. Listening is hard work. In fact, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Maybe now. No. Can you hear? Listening is difficult. Listening, and it's so important. It's so vital for life. It's so it's such hard work that because we have to focus, we have to concentrate, we have to set aside our own prejudices, our own privileges, our own thoughts, you know, our own daydreams. We have to set aside all that in order to listen. In fact, sometimes we need an attention getter. We need something to grab our attention. When you were growing up, do you remember when your parents called you by your full Christian name? You knew you had to listen. You had to pay attention. You had to respond. Not only listen and hear, but you had to respond to it. Now, as I said, so then you respond to it, and, you know, people are trained to listen. We have to be trained. Now, who listens the best? Therapists, hospice chaplains, counselors, people who, doctors maybe, pastors, they focus, they listen. It's such a joy and a privilege to feel listened to feel like someone actually cares and is listening. Now, I'll tell you, customer service representatives trained to listen, psychologists, psychiatrists, and even businesses say they're listening to you. Remember that old ad when E.F. Hutton talks? People listen. Everyone stops. Everyone's hush. Or our own local bank, Fulton Bank, had an ad campaign not too long ago that just said, what did it say? Listening. Listening. Listening is difficult and hard work, and yet it's vital for our lives. Vital for our lives. Now, I want to give you an aviation example. Over 20 years ago, I retired from flying airplanes. Listening is important, very important for flying airplanes. Now, before, what I'm going to talk to you about is an interchange between a pilot and the air traffic control. And I'm going to teach you what that's about. The way you listen with that way is a readback. Readback is the same thing that when a good administrative person, a secretary, reads back your telephone number or your email address in order for them to have it right. So that you give it to them and they say, no, I have this right. It's 717-872, you know, whatever. The same thing goes in flying airplanes. Now, when the air traffic controller says, turn right, heading 180, you would say, if you're the pilot, you would say what? Turn right, heading 180. If they say, descend and maintain 5,000, what would you say?
Descend and maintain 5,000.
That's right. You're good. You guys are practically pilots right now. So, so you got that. Now, listen to an interchange that happened. It was written up in an aviation safety magazine a long time ago. It said this. The air traffic controller said, turn right, heading 180, descend and maintain 8,000. You don't have to repeat it. The pilot said, turn right, heading 180, descending to 2,000. What happened then was there was a garble. There was another radio call that garbled that. The approach control didn't say anything. Then the approach control said, your position is 12 miles southwest of the airport, descend and maintain 8,000. The pilot said, leaving 9,000 for 2,000. Approach control said, roger. Next thing, the approach control said, your position is 19 miles southwest of the airport, turn right, heading 200 for a flight pattern correction. That was the last radio contact before the pilot flew the airplane into a mountain. And you heard it. You heard it. He said, maintain 8,000 feet. And the pilot ignored it, didn't hear that, repeated back, he's gone to 2,000, and it didn't work. So, let's turn our attention to God's Word, which is more important than E.F. Hutton, more important than Fulton Bank listening to you, more important than even a pilot in air traffic control. There's only two points here. Why should we listen to Jesus? And how do we listen to Jesus? Why do we listen to Jesus, and how do we do it? So why? The first reason why is God shakes us up. God gets our attention. God gets our attention because, see, in this passage, we see that they had gone up, Jesus and the disciples had gone up on the mountain, and he was glowing. He was bright as the sun. His robe turned white. And so Peter always is the first one to respond. He says, "Oh, it's great to be here. I'm going to build. Let's build shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." You know, he's all about that. The next thing they hear while he's still speaking is, This.
This is my son. I love. With him, I am well pleased. Listen to him.
God gets your attention. With that, the three of them hit the dirt. You know, notice that they didn't hit the dirt when Jesus was glowing and when he was having a conversation with Moses and Elijah. No, that seemed to be, that was fine. When God spoke, they hit the dirt. They hit the dirt. That's what got their attention. So we listen to Jesus because our Almighty Father tells us to. He says, listen, you heard that, right? Listen to him. Now, secondly, we listen. Why do we listen to Jesus? Because nothing is equal to Jesus. Jesus stands above everything. Now, you notice in the scripture, when they were in the dirt, and Jesus came over, touched them, and said, get up, and they looked up, all they saw was Jesus. All they saw was Jesus. Jesus is above everything. So why do we listen to Jesus? Because Jesus is more important than your retirement savings. Jesus is more important than your family. Jesus is more important than your bank account. Jesus is more important than your hobbies. Jesus is more important than your vacation. Jesus is more important than anything. There's nothing above Jesus. So we listen to Jesus because the Father tells us to, and because there's no equal. There is no equal to listening to Jesus. So that's why we listen to Jesus. Now, how do we listen? How do we listen is this way. Notice Jesus' body language. Before he even speaks to Peter, James, and John, he walks over and touches them. Jesus speaks to us through his touch. The first thing he does is touch him. You know, if you look at when Jesus healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, he didn't even speak to her. He just went over and touched her, and she stood up. Jesus' touch heals. Jesus' touch speaks. Jesus' touch heals. Notice what, in the parable where the woman that was bleeding for 12 years, he didn't speak to her. She touched him. Jesus' touch heals and speaks to you and me. In fact, in Gennesaret, they put hurting people in the marketplace. They just wanted to touch Jesus. They just wanted to touch him. Jesus speaks healing through his touch, whether he touches you or whether you touch him. So friends, that's one of the ways that Jesus speaks is by through his touch. Many of you, we have been touched by worship. We have been touched by care, caring deacons, caring elders. We've been touched by music, by prayers. We've been touched by sermons. We've been touched by Jesus Christ in so many ways you can't count. There's so many ways that I've been touched in and through my life that I can't even, it would take forever to talk about. So you've been touched as well. The first way Jesus, how we listen to Jesus is through his touch. So the second way is we listen to him through his words, right? So he walks over, touches these guys. Then he says, get up. Don't be afraid. Get up. Don't be afraid. So he speaks words that, you know, I think he's foreshadowing the resurrection. Get up. Don't be afraid. Don't be in the dirt. There's life ahead of you. There's life ahead of us. It's almost like when he spoke to Lazarus. Lazarus was in the grave, right? He says in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And what's he do? Comes walking out. Or what did Jesus, with the same parable of the 12, the lady who was bleeding for 12 years, Jesus was on his way to heal, to touch Jairus' daughter. What did he say to her? He went over, touched her, and said, Talitha kum, little girl, get up. Little girl, get up. So he is speaking to you. So we listen. The way we listen is through his words to us saying, get up. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And finally, the third way we listen, or how we listen to Jesus, is notice this. The last verse of this scripture says, Jesus went down the mountain with the disciples. He went with them. He didn't just say, you know what, I'm good here. He went down the mountain. His presence spoke volumes to him. So he went into the dark valleys of life with these people. The same way he goes with you. He doesn't ever let you orphaned, abandoned, doesn't let you alone. We listen because he's with us. He goes with us into the ER rooms. He goes with us into hospital settings when we get a diagnosis of cancer. He goes with us into hospice centers when we're sitting with family members or friends who are wasting away. Jesus is speaking to you right then. His presence is with you. He goes with you into divorce courts. He goes with you into rehab centers. His presence is always there. So how we listen is because Jesus Christ loves you, loves you, loves you, and doesn't abandon you, goes with you. You know, he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. And he spoke that from another mountain. So we listen, how we listen to Jesus is through his touch. We listen to Jesus through his words. We listen to Jesus through one another. We listen to Jesus through his constant presence, persistent presence in your life, even right now. And finally, so are we listening? Are we listening carefully to Jesus Christ? Who alone is worthy to listen to? So if we're listening to him, we listen to him from another mountain that was skull-shaped, called Golgotha, who when Jesus was hoisted up to pay the penalty for your sins and mine, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he speaks to a thief next to him, a thief like you and me, who asked to be remembered. Jesus says, today I tell you the truth. You will be with me in paradise. He touched him through his words. He touched him. He touches him like he touches you and I. So friends, that's why we listen to Jesus, and it's how we listen to Jesus. And I say, the challenge this Lent, this year, is to listen so carefully, listen to Jesus through his words, listen to him through sermons, listen to him through prayers, listen to him through singing, listen to him through worship, listen to him visiting, caring, serving, going in mission. Listen to him because he's with you always. And when we listen that carefully, we too can say to another, a friend in need, a family member, we too can say, get up. I'll help you. I'll go with you. You're not alone. I'm going to go with you through this. And in that way, you're touching another person. You're speaking the words of Jesus to another person. And when they look up, the world will only see Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Amen.